Oh, isn't that where Wanda Maximoff is from the hit show WandaVision?
What'd you call me?
Jamie.
You heard me.
I'm coming, Jamie. Hold on.
Well, because whatever I say, what'd you call me? It's usually because I wasn't paying attention.
But that you just destroyed the joke. You destroyed the illusion.
What?
The illusion is gone.
What'd you call
Our
me?
Viewers will now know.
What viewers?
Our listeners.
Who?
He didn't hear me again.
Got him.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're ready for this year's wonderful event. We've got two contestants on our plane flying journey. Over to my right side, in the blue and red plane, we've got Garbalax, the snail, Garbo.
Ooh, I'm gonna get there and I'm gonna get there slowly.
And to my left, sporting a nice green and brown plane, that's Upchuck, the Upchucker, Chuck Chuck.
Ha.
That's not a plane. He just has angel wings.
Huh.
They're really big.
Did you fall from heaven?
No, that would mean I'm a bad flyer.
Oh, I hope you guys are ready for this year's race because I'm your announcer, Pino. And this year is they're actually only going to pick up my laundry.
Slow and steady still wins the race.
Welcome, everybody. This is the finale of Forever. This is the last episode of the podcast. I'm so sorry.
That was a really good opening.
Thank you. That's what you can expect, really, especially when it comes to our favorite time of year, the last episode of the season.
Even
you know why
it
it's our favorite
every year.
But do you know why it's our favorite?
I don't know.
It's because we get to watch some of the most
goodest, bestest,
the most well animated movies
yeah.
Of our time. We get to watch some of the Ghibli films. Last time, a visual treat. Last time, we watched what was it, Grave of the Fireflies, and before that, we saw Castle in the Sky. So, if you want to hear those, feel free to go and watch those. Those were good times. That's where you get to learn my true feelings of Ghibli. And maybe you'll get another one this time.
And we're going in chronological order here, so
no, we're not.
No, we're not. We planned to, and then I was like, let's pick Porco Rosso.
Fuck it. All right. Well, honestly,
we weren't doing like in chronological, and then you just said, "Fuck it, I don't want to think about it," so I'm gonna pick the next one.
That works.
And then
who cares?
And then Pino said, "Fuck it, I'm not doing the next one."
We can do whatever
one.
We want. This is exactly. Good. So like, who fucking cares?
Exactly. Firstly, I just want to say hi to my compatriots, Chuck and Garb. How are you guys doing today?
Hello.
Pretty good.
You guys are all right?
How
pretty
are you,
good?
Pino?
Yeah, pretty good. I could use some water right now, which I'm going to go ahead and drink. But how was your day?
This is the hydration second. Let's all...
I'll get my water.
Yep. That wasn't water. That was motor oil. Great.
I'm going to be going all night.
That's a broken car. Anyways, if you guys want to find us anywhere on the internet, you can only find us on Twitter. No, you can find us on our Patreon. You can find us on Twitter. Find us on YouTube, Spotify. On Twitter, we are at the 3OWeBros. I think that's what it was because I didn't write
at
anything else.
At
3OWeBros.
Not the 3OWeBros.
All right,
that's
at 3OWeBros. Or you can email us if you guys ever want to contact us at funkyanimepodcast@gmail.com or contact, you know, the cooler one, contact@funkyanimepodcast.com.
That's the one. Yep. And you can just go to funkyanimepodcast.com. If you're lazy, you're like, I don't know where I want to go, just go to the website.
Exactly. I didn't write down the other part because I ignored Chuck at that point. I had to thank the Patreon. I don't remember
all.
Who I have to thank.
Everybody.
Can I tap out?
Guys.
Tap. Yeah,
I
want to
thank Cream Puff. I want to thank Cosmos. I want to thank Jasmine. I want to thank Sid for paying us.
Yeah. Thanks.
For paying
and supporting
us money.
Us and talking into chats.
And joining us for some of those streams. We had a couple streams earlier this week, which was nice.
Yeah,
an impromptu meme stream and then an impromptu One Piece stream, which was cool. I enjoyed the meme stream a lot. Me and Chuck laughed a lot, and it was great. We were reliving our Vine times.
We laughed. We lost.
Yeah, and we wept.
We memed. We dreamed.
I didn't weep.
We creamed.
We screamed. I don't know about that one. I might have screamed. Yeah.
I probably screamed, if I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, man.
But yeah. If you want to join, go join, because we have a fun time there, and you can see us talk about what shows we're watching and talk to us about the shows that we're watching.
Exactly. On or off the podcast, that's all up to you. I mean, like, currently, I mean, we could talk about it in the miscellaneous, but we have been watching a lot. We've been consuming some anime outside the podcast, so it's very good.
Very good.
But to jump back on track, this week we decided to watch, or at least I decided to force my friends to watch Porco Rosso. The only reason I picked this was because there was a plane, and I like planes, and because the plane conductor, because that's the word, I promise you, it's plane conductor. He looked like
Definitely
Dr. Eggman.
Pilot.
Yeah, plane conductor looked like Dr. Eggman, so I was like, hey, you know what? Let's go. Let's watch this.
This is the one.
Before we get into some of those details, have you guys seen the movie before? What are your experiences with Porco Rosso?
I had not.
This was one of those Ghibli films where I was like, I want to watch it, but I never did.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever heard of this one spoken of too much, despite, I think, making a good, getting a good reception when it released. But I feel like everybody just talks about, you know, the big ones, like Spirited Away or Castle in the Sky the other
Spirited
ones.
Away, Castle in the Sky, Ooh. Neighbor Totoro, mm-hmm. Princess Mononoke, Howl's Moving Castle, all mm-hmm. those types of ones. I feel like this one is definitely... It's a different vibe mm-hmm. than most other of, like, the Ghibli films.
Mm-hmm. And we'll touch upon it later, because a lot of those other Ghibli films are a lot more fantastical, a lot more magical. Mm-hmm. And this one is actually, you kind of have it set in a realistic kind of setting, despite having one unrealistic character.
Well, all of this aged like fine wine.
I think so,
It is just, I was very surprised that, because, you know, what was Grave of the Fireflies? Grave of the Fireflies, you know, like, it was okay, but it wasn't the most gracefully aged film. But
yeah. I don't know.
By this
I think
time,
I feel like, it,
like they
wait, what
really
do you, wait, why?
Hit
wait,
their
wait,
stride.
Why? Wait, why do you not think it gracefully aged? I need to, I object
know.
To that.
It just, it
I
made
think
me
you're,
feel weird. It didn't
well, yeah,
make me feel
like
this, like,
it was a movie about war. Because it was a movie about the brutality
kind
of war and the use of atomic bombs on people.
I think what Garth
There's
meant...
The whole reason is to make you feel uncomfortable and make you be like, wow, war's bad,
well,
dude.
But I like this movie more.
I think what
well,
he...
I'm not saying that you can't. I'm just saying that you can't go drag Grave of the Fireflies through the mud just because it was a movie about war that made you think... about the consequences of war.
I think what Garb means is that I feel like maybe Grave of the Fireflies is like a, I guess more like of a, like it's a period piece just like this one, but it's theming and it's kind of like contents aren't as interesting or as easily consumable as this one, especially considering how like different they are in contrast.
Yeah.
Despite being set around, like, wartime, both of them.
Yeah. Well, and this, like... yes, it is a little easier to watch because the subject matter isn't quite as harsh. Mm-hmm. Though, you know, like, I don't know. It's a good movie.
I'm just not about to hear the slander on Grave of the Fireflies and sit with it.
I decided not to make fun of it this time. You can hear my thoughts in the video.
This movie was just so... perfectly paced that
it's well good. Whenever well, I
go ahead man
just whenever I watch films I'm always like, oh, that was kind of short. You know,
yeah,
whenever I watch, because you know you do have to tailor it to a shorter time frame than like series, so I'm used to, well, because you know I've been watching Hunter Hunter, you know, we'll talk about that later, but like that is a beefy story, and something like Porco Rosso is 90 minutes, which is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And most Ghibli films are all around that 90 minute mark, hour and a half. Still great.
Oh yeah.
It's
definitely.
Just a different experience.
Yeah, definitely.
It's and I like it. It's just, it's different. And I like I like the change of pace that it brings, because we don't usually watch movies here, unless it's related to a show we've already watched.
Exactly. So it's always good to just, it's always good to just, I don't know, you're right, it's like such a contrast, like how they fit so much in like 90 minutes or like, compared to like a season or two.
And they didn't waste a second. Every single little bit was, you know, exactly how it needed to be.
Exactly. I agree with you there. Well, we'll jump into it. Let me give you all the rundown of what Porco Rosso is, and everybody who doesn't know.
But I can't run. I'm a snail.
I'll pour some salt on you. Delicious. Anyway, Porco Rosso is a movie animated by, as we all know, Studio Ghibli. I finally said it correctly.
Yay! Ghibli.
I can't believe it.
You just said Ghibli.
I can't believe it.
Ghibli.
Ghibli. Anyway, Studio Ghibli. H is silent, apparently. Actually, yeah, what did I emphasize? Never mind. We'll hop on. You
said Ghibli.
Written and directed by the ever so talented Hayao Miyazaki. It is a Japanese comedy slash kind of like adventure film. Made in or released in 1992, which was kind of cool.
Because it's not long ago.
It's not too older than us. Which is kind of interesting thinking about it. We should invite Porco Rosso into our podcast. You know, same age. No, anyways. So this is actually based on a manga, which I was surprised about. It's called The Age of the Flying Boat. Apparently it's a 3-part like watercolor manga, which I'm not entirely sure what that means, but I'm guessing it was made in watercolor. It was pretty well received, as I can tell from the ever so popular Wikipedia page. Box office was 44 million, and their budget was 92 million, which is pretty interesting. Said, it kind of ran for 94. Right, box office was 44 million. It says right here, estimated. And their budget for making the film was $9.2 million.
Oh, you said 92 million. No, I said I was like, that was a terrible failure.
I said 9.2 million.
You said 92.
All right, you go ahead. Yeah, roll the tape. Box office was 44 million, and their budget was 92 million, which is pretty interesting.
What I heard.
Okay. Anyways. Oh. But yeah, it released a long time ago, then it came overseas and they dubbed it, and then Disney, being Disney, decided to get they redubbed it since they purchased the rights and whatnot, or
the dubbing.
What is the thing? Like, what
the
is
redistribution.
That thing? Like. Thank you, redistribution, and then they dubbed it, and I believe the dub was only released like on DVD and then on Blu-ray and whatnot, but yeah, you can find it on anything. I think I didn't.
You can find it on HBO Max.
That's right. They did purchase everything.
It was on Netflix for a while, and then
I remember having it on my list, and I was so bummed because I was like, "It's on there. I can't wait to watch this." And then, bam, HBO Max time.
It'll eventually come to Netflix in Australia.
So you said VPN time?
Yeah, and it's not on there yet.
Hey, VPN, who wants to sponsor us?
I logged into my Melbourne server. No, I used fucking Mozilla VPN.
Very
fucked
nice.
Up. Yeah,
I use a different one as well.
Like, and I did check, and I was like, God damn, it's not there. So, not gonna tell you that you need to, I don't know, join a certain crew that we met in this movie, but maybe it's about time to sail the seaplanes.
Anyways, as we fly towards the next segment, let's talk about that presentation, because this has got a good stank of good animation and a nice color scheme there too. What do you guys? Let's hear your thoughts.
Oh, it's Ghibli. It's Ghibli. Like, what else? What else can I say? You know the style. You know how smooth it is. Like, it's hard. It's really hard to further at least for me. Mm-hmm. It's hard to further elaborate that sort of stuff just because that Ghibli style, that Miyazaki style, is so recognizable at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Having such a huge like backlog and have such, you know, a devout following and success. You know, it's what you would expect a Studio Ghibli film to look like. Mm-hmm. One thing that I did actually really enjoy, though, is that since this is a a story centered around flying, which actually, now that I think about it, there are a lot of Ghibli films that have either flying or being up in the sky for some reason. So I guess this isn't as huge of a point, but all the sky backgrounds and the skyscapes and the animation of these pilots flying through is always really fun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the water, also very underrated in this film. Whoa. Super well done.
Absolutely. There was like weight to it. Like, there was like the fluidity that I would expect from water. As someone who watches a show about water, like 80% of the water at the time in One Piece, isn't that animated? So seeing this nice, fluid, nice and detailed, that was pretty nice to see.
Yeah.
And the mechanical items, like this is all hand drawn, and it is an absolute treat to watch because, like, you can tell every single frame, like, you can watch all of it go by. And it's like, wow, holy cow, they did all that.
Ghibli really is, they really do an excellent job, I think, of meshing, you know, they're cutesy kind of cartoony people and characters with very detailed and like real world, like background or backdrops, like as you mentioned, like the engines. I remember there was a scene in the bar where you can see like all the bottles on the wall. I was just like, this is the kind of like aesthetic that I live for. It's like, it's great.
And not a single two of those background characters look the same, whether it be the pirates whenever they were in the bar or the very last scene where there were a bunch of people, then no two characters look the same. And I'm sure they look a little similar, but
they all have their own little characteristics that makes them different. And it really helps just because, you know, you usually get like those repeating backgrounds or like, hey, we got to fill in some space. Let's put him in a different shirt. But it's nice to have different people, especially when you have those large groups. It just makes it feel like a much bigger world inside a small 92, 94 minute video or movie. But yeah, it's a gooder. It's a looker. Yeah. It's a very good looker.
A looker.
And you know what else is very pleasant to the senses? The music. What'd you guys think of the music?
It sounded a little clownish here and there, and I thought that worked quite well. Because it needed to be a little silly, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just
Yeah, especially with, like, they have a lot of humorous moments in the movie, which I was actually surprised about. Like, I thought this was despite having a pig on their front page, I thought this was going to be a little more of a serious one, but they had a lot of fun with it, and they really reflected it with the music they chose in the selection. And even for those serious bits, they really knew how to just kind of, like, I feel like it worked, like, everything worked, like, it worked, it carried. And especially in some of those, like, moments where they're flying in the air. Like there's a specific moment in the movie where Porco gets shot down and like he has to travel by like boat or like he basically gets his plane towed over to Italy. Like that whole kind of like section of music, I was digging it. I could sleep to that. Luckily I did not, but I could sleep to that. I'm just like, this is it's so good. Chuck, you're so quiet.
No, well, come when you talk. But the composer for all the music was Joe Hisa Ishii, who's done a lot of Ghibli films. For example, he did Ponyo. I know he did Howl's Moving Castle. He's done a bunch of Ghibli films, and obviously he did this one. And I think he did Spirited Away. Let me check. Oh, he did Kiki's Delivery Service. That's a good one. And he did do Spirited Away. So he's done a lot, and he's done a pretty damn good job with this. All of his music sounds super cinematic. I really feel like is the vibe that I get. Just these big orchestrated moments and movements is just so good. I you know, once again, not something that I would put on a playlist to jam out to, but like to relax,
Definitely.
Oh yeah, slap that on there any day of the week. It's good though.
It's good. Very good. Man, Ghibli knows how to make some... They really know how to knock it out of the park with presentation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Always. It's...
The only sad thing... The only sad thing is we didn't really get an OP or ED, as movies typically do, so we have to skip our favorite segment. We did get a song in the end credits, but not too much to see in the end credits. It's pretty standard, other than the bonus scene.
It told a little bit of a story.
But I can't read Japanese. Can't read it.
Can't read pictures?
Can't. But I'll tell you what the name of the song is anyways. Yay. It's called Once in a While, Talk of the Old Days, by Tokiko Kai Kato. It was nice and pleasant. I had it playing in the background, but you know, it did its job. That's about it.
Yeah, it's pleasant.
Very simple, very effective, you know. Especially with movies, you know, you're going to see them once. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be watching in this ending 26 times, you know?
Exactly.
It's good, you know, it does what it needs to do. And then that little end credit scene where he fly, I'm like, oh, he fly.
He fly. Go. I just want to see your face, Mr. Rosso.
Goodbye, Mr. Rossi.
Mr. Rossi. Mr. Bacon. I mean, Rosso. Oh. But yeah, that it's our best section. We we had to skip it, though.
That's sad, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
All right, you guys ready for some of that plot? Let's quickly go through that. So, movie starts out with our ace pilot, the menace of the Adriatic. I like calling him menace, despite he's just a bounty hunter. Our Mr. Porco Rosso. And he's just notified that, like, hey, we got some flying plane pirates. Plane pirates. And they're harassing some of our boats here. They abduct, 22 little kids?
A lot of
children.
And they were like, wait, hold on, we can't separate them. That would be mean.
Yeah, we can't separate them from their friends. those pirates were just too nice. I loved them. But yeah, they take the kids because they need some money for ransom, and it's up to Porco to save them. That entire kind of like sequence, I was in for it. I'm like, look at this. This is just like waking up on a Saturday morning watching some cartoon.
Yeah.
It was great. I loved it. It was serious, but it was also playful at the same time, especially because like all those little girls were so adorable. They're just, what does this button do? Oh yeah, look at that. Oh, it's Rosso. They were just so.
I can't see you.
Can't see. Out of the Please, way. I need you to sit down.
You missed him.
But that whole segment, I was ready for the rest of the movie. I'm like, okay, so you're this is gonna be one of those fun time, good feeling movies. So
yeah, it established that. Right on time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. After saving all the kids in a wonderful fashion, he goes and visits the Hotel Adriano, which is a hotel in the middle of the ocean, which is kind of cool. I love when there's just like random cities or buildings in the middle of the ocean, which is run by Miss Gina, which is a friend of his from a long time ago. In the bar, you see a group of space pirates. Keep wanting to say space pirates. You see more of the pirate heads of the Adriatic area, and they're all just angry because they can't do anything because Porco's in the way. You also cut to a man they hired called Curtis. I believe it's Donald Curtis, or what was his name? I posted it in the chat. Let me see here. Filling time.
Don Curt.
Ugh. Yeah, Donald Curtis. And he is an American plane. He's just an American plane. He's a pilot from America, and they hired him because they needed somebody to, you know, match the speed and match the power of Porco Rosso.
They thought they had him.
But there is no talk of fighting or bad housery in this bar, because Gina is also, you know, the owner of the hotel and the main attraction, because she sings, and that singing bit was amazing. I loved it. The fluid movements, everybody was just enamored. And this piqued Mr. Curtis's interest. He instantly falls in love with Gina and tries to make a move, but she's like, sorry. Hey, Porco. And then goes to Porco. You get a little bit of a hint of just like Porco's little background when he eats by himself on the second floor. And you see him complain about having a certain picture up on the wall. And they kind of zoom in on it. And there's like four guys and Gina there. Heavily implying he's got a sad little past there, and I was hooked at that point, because you know me, I love mysteries. I love mysteries, and I want to know why this man's a pig.
Oink.
But yeah, after the whole bar scene, they're sorry, I just had a massive brain fart. I was just like, your energy was way too high there, Pino.
Coming out too strong.
The following day, pirates they go ahead and do some of their missions, you know, as they had to do their dailies for their gotchas, and They go ahead and do that, and Curtis is like, you know what? I'm going to mess around with this pig. Intercepts Porco, who was actually on his way to get his plane fixed since it was actually having some problems in that first initial opening. And Curtis is like, ha ha, pew pew, bitch, and then shoots his plane down.
He was that he salty. Killed him. And yeah. Porco was like, you wouldn't have gotten me if this damn plane wasn't acting up.
Exactly. And I was just like, I kind of didn't, I knew he wasn't dead, but I'm just like, wow, they really went there like that fast.
Yeah.
So Porco, he was actually on his way to get the plane fixed in Italy, which makes it now a much harder and longer journey to go through, because instead of flying there, he's got to hitch a ride on a boat, on a train, and then reaches the house of his buddy Piccolo, you know, king of Namek. Piccolo, an old grandpa-looking frogman who charges you way too much to make a plane. I thought that was my favorite bit from Mr. Piccolo.
Well, you know that, you know, ain't money's... She? The paper's worth more than the money that's printed on them. You know.
Exactly. And Porco, he's used to Piccolo. He's worked with him in the past, and expecting that his sons were still in the area, is brought into reality, saying that, like, oh, my sons, they left because there's no work here, and is introduced to the...
They got to do the war.
Yeah, they got to go do the war. They're introduced to ace mechanic, ace pilot maker, ace whatever she is, Fio Piccolo, the granddaughter of Mr. Piccolo. And initially, Porco's just like, nah, a girl? Please. But he eventually warms up to the fact that, hey, Fio is, like, trying a lot. She's actually, like, she stayed up awake, like, a whole night planning what the new ship was going to look like. Or plane. I've got one piece on the brain. I'm sorry. The new plane's going to look like. And initially, he warms up and he's like, okay, kid, you got the job.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, this movie has got it all, man. It's got... action, it's got adventure, it's got women's rights, it's got himbos, it's got a
it's got a piggy. I love pigs.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is the part of the movie where it kind of hit me that it was just like they were in Italy, and thinking around this time, because it does take place in or around World War One, and this was around the time where Italy was leaning towards or has already become a very fascist kind of nation. Which I was bewildered. I was like, yo, like I knew they brought up some of the like political stuff, like in Grave of the Fireflies and like kind of like dark subjects. But like having that pop up, I was taken aback, but I was happy about that. What?
Bano.
Yeah.
Porco Rosso is a World War One veteran. So it's after World War One.
Thank you. So after.
I think it was like, oh wait, no, I don't know what I'm talking.
Yeah, because then they're leaning towards the fascists.
Couple years, yeah. Well, yeah. Those solid couple years in between the two wars.
Yeah, I think this was
where everything was rough.
Wasn't this like the 30s?
I don't think they specify a time, but I do know, at least according to the wiki and some references, this was like in or between the Great Depression. So it could have been around the 30s, maybe a little post or pre. So
you could say.
Yeah, but they really... I feel like they conveyed it pretty well, because like Porco travels through the city one of those days, and like you can see like propaganda on the wall, you see like army men everywhere. You don't see too many like men out there since they're all enlisted, and it's even more kind of like emphasized when the workers come in for Piccolo's shop. It's like basically the women in the family.
Yeah,
and I was just like, yeah, let's go. But I'm just like, where are the men? Like it didn't hit me when I was watching it. I was just like,
yep.
Where are the men? He then goes to like a movie theater to watch a movie, and he's interrupted by one of his old compatriots. I don't remember his name, so I'm going to look him up real quick. But he's met with his buddy, it's Italian, Ferriarin, I believe. And he's just like, hey,
F. Bless you, like, well, that was his call sign.
Yes. He's just like, you know, they're looking for you. You know, they got a bounty on your head, and... he's got a bounty on his head mostly because he's considered a deserter since he didn't want to fly for a fascist nation. And like, I don't remember the exact thing he says, but he's like, I'd rather be a pig than be a fascist or something like that. I'm just like, yo, like, wow.
That was like the point where I was like, wow, this like, you know, this is really holds up. But I also thought that it was much older, finding out it's only from like 92. I was like, okay, I guess that makes sense, but still like,
well, because this was like Because I'm trying to do research on the fly, because that's what I always do.
Yeah.
Even if it's not my, even if it's not my episode, because that's what I do. Yeah, so this was after, let's see. So we watched the first two.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the sixth Ghibli film.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first one, well, the first real Ghibli film came out in 86, which was Castle in the Sky. And then they released, you know, once every couple of years. And yeah, they just, you know, just let you know.
It's good. But yeah, his buddy warns him, like, hey, I mean, I'll do you a solid. I won't arrest you here, but you got to get out. Like, I'll do what I can to try and hold him back, but the secret police are on your back. And so, you know, while he's doing this, obviously, the women of the Piccolo family are building the ship, getting it prepped. There's an excellent kind of like car chase scene, that I very much enjoy. Fio stops by. He's like, Porco, you need a ride? She's like, oh, I need a ride, but I'm driving. And so then they outrun the secret police, which was both like, I was kind of like worried because I didn't know what direction was going to, but it kind of ended in a nice, humorous, but successful manner where they managed to outrun them. And then they go back to the shop. He's like, we got to, like, I, you know, if it's finished, great, but you're coming with me. I got to get out of here. Well, you're not coming with me, but I need to get out of here now.
We got to skedaddle.
Exactly. She's like, I'm not letting you leave, one, because you need to pay us, and two, because I already made this little passenger seat, so come in.
We're going, yeah.
Which is adorable.
Joke's on you.
Joke's on you. You're not rid of me yet. but yeah, she goes with him with a newly improved plane. Capable of going super fast, and you know, they have to leave Italy, and what Porco's goal, like, Porco doesn't want to do anything at this point. He's just like, I gotta go back and I gotta find out what's going on. Finds out that all the pirates were hired by the fascist regime, saying like, oh hey, we're gonna use you because we need more manpower. So it effectively ruins Porco's bounty hunter career, because if he goes after the pirates, he's, you know, government's going after him. So he basically has nowhere to go. So he ends up going back to his home, trying to relax a bit, only to be ambushed by every pirate in the area, which was hilarious. They were just about to mollywop my boy until Fio makes a stand. And she's like,
hey, that's fucked, dude. Hey,
stop it. You're a pilot. Well, said pirate. You're a pilot. Well, pilots are honorable. And everybody just swoons over Fio. Like, Miss Fio, you are truly the engineer of the gods. And I thought that was great how they just how she just stepped in and everybody just like became putty. It was great. And you know, everything seemed like it was ending good. They're like, hey, don't fight him, but we need to get our revenge, Miss Fio. And out of the crack of what I call the boulder that surrounds Porco's house comes Mr. Curtis. He's like, hey, hold on there, buddy. I want to race you again for two reasons. Gina denied me. So I'm coming. Ooh, is that a woman? So
woman.
in his attempt to challenge Porco, he sees Fio and he's like, hey, you know what? Let's raise the stakes. Give me Fio if I win.
And I get prime rib.
Yeah, and if you win, I'll pay off all your debt for Fio, for Fio's plane cost. And, you know, I was a little skeptical because, you know, Porco didn't want to race at all. But, you know, seeing that Fio was in danger of, you know, being sent over, you know, to her doom of marriage.
It's true.
He was just like, no.
To an American, no less. Nah,
no, just couldn't be us.
Couldn't be me.
Couldn't be me. he, you know, he accepts and feels just like, oh, she was worried the fact that, like, she knew she was, like, that part was a little confusing because, like, she challenged him in the hopes that Porco would have said yes. But the fact that he did say yes, she was, like, super relieved. I thought that was such a cute moment.
Thank fucking God.
Yeah, she cried a little bit. I'm just like, no, why did you do that? You didn't have to. But it was great. That was a cute little moment. While they prepare for the big race that's happening in the next, I guess, day or so, I didn't pay attention to when it was supposed to be scheduled. They have a nice little moment at night. And Fio is asleep, but she turns around and for a split second, she sees that Porco's like pig-like body looked human for a moment. And she wakes up. She's like, oh my God. He's like, oh, I thought you were a man. You look like a man for a second. And he's like, no, no, I'm a pig.
He's like, wink.
She asks him, how did you become a pig? He's like, I just ended up that way. And then he,
didn't he
tells.
Say like a witch?
A witch? I don't remember a witch.
He said a witch did it. Like it was a throwaway line, or at least in the sub it was.
Yeah, I mean, he said like he was just changed into, like, in the dub, I didn't pay attention to what changed him, but I more so paid attention to what came after, which was like his sad backstory, and then he became a pig is what I understood or something. Which actually really made me feel really, really, really bad. I started dooming a little, but we'll talk about it. He was, obviously he was part of the Italian army, at the time of World War I. He was flying with his buddies and they were, ambushed, by, I guess, their enemy, in order. And he's, you know, he's seeing all these enemy planes go down left and right. And to escape from all that, he goes up into the clouds. And in the clouds, he looks up into the sky and he sees like a huge kind of like, I don't know, like a highway of planes flying through the sky. And he's just like looking up and he's just in amazement. And then coming up from the clouds below that he came from were not only his friends who died or who were shot down in the battle, but other planes flying up there. And he's just panicking. He's just like, yo, wait, like you had to come back because one of those guys was actually married to Gina. So he's like, mm-hmm. you can't leave. Gina's going to be all alone. Like, who's going to be responsible? Like, who's going to take care of her? And as he's trying to, like, fly up towards them, he's like, he's just, like, not able to. And he falls back below the clouds. And, like the fact that, obviously, that was representative of just, like, people dying and going on to, like, the great beyond or like, to their deaths and whatnot. But the fact that it wasn't his time yet and he wanted to like switch spots, I was just like, oh my gosh, like this, he's a true friend. It was rough. Like, and I think they executed it in a way where it's like kids will understand kind of what's going on, but it's not like to the fact where they're just like it ensued of just like, oh my gosh, like they're dead. Like this is like very gruesome. I think they handled it very masterfully. And I was in love with that segment despite me dooming on his behalf.
It's so pretty. It's so pretty and like so emotional.
It's so peaceful.
Yeah. And it's kind of somber. Cause that's the reality of war. Just
it's very somber.
Like despite them all being enemies, they're all just, it's all just one straight line. They're just going to their doom. And I'm just like there, I don't think there was any way like other way that they could have pictured that, especially with the theming and like the whole plane thing.
And it was so cool. I thought that was like a ring of stars, but then you know it shows you, no, those are all airplanes, those are souls
drifting into the next or into the great beyond. Just like it was wild. And I don't know, like it was at that point where I was just like, this is like, I guess the fantastical kind of like mystical part of the movie that Ghibli, like the Ghibli, sorry, I said Ghibli correctly the first time.
Yeah, and then you're like, I must change it.
The Ghibli films are known for. But I think like keeping it more or less grounded into a kind of believable kind of sense, like someone could have imagined this or like had a near-death experience similar to this. I'm just like great, it was amazing. Like I loved it. Which is hard because I never say I like Ghibli movies.
Never.
It just took the right one. Loved it.
Yeah. But yeah, that was such a phenomenal. I think that was my like the standout scene, like out of the entire movie for me. But regardless, you know, she falls asleep. He's like, hey. He's sad about it. But the day of the race arrives. Everybody and their grandma's there. Everybody's betting. Pirate guys are emceeing the whole thing, which I thought was hilarious. And begins the race. So what I understood is it was really a race, more like an air battle kind of.
Yeah, it was a dogfight. Yeah, is what it was.
And so basically, you know, first one to die wins. No, first one to die loses, obviously, or get their plane
you
incapable
win!
Of falling. You win. Ugh! But yeah, they had a good dogfight in the air. Porco is very honorable because he doesn't want to kill any pilot, so he was trying his best to aim for the engine to have Curtis like surrender in the easiest way possible, or like get out of the race in that way.
And he made him like run out his ammunition.
Exactly. And I thought that was so cool. Just like, you know, you get more of Porco's character and you get to see it in action. Just like he's a gentleman. He's just your friendly old bounty hunter.
He is. Yeah. Looks can be deceiving. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All the while this dogfight is happening, we jump to a clip where Gina's at the hotel and she's like overhearing some comms and hears that I guess the Italian forces are headed towards the Adriatic. I don't remember if they were tracking down Porco. Somebody correct me if they were wrong.
Yeah, they were chasing him.
Gotcha. So they were chasing Porco. And she's like, I got to let him know because he's got to get out of there or else he's done. So they're on their way, Gina and her forces, and by forces, I mean her plane. The dogfight both of their planes end up, they end up going down into the water, but not before a funny exchange where Porco's guns jam, and as Garp said, Curtis's gun just runs out of ammo. They just start chucking whatever they can at each other. I thought that was adorable. That was cute. They're like, take that, you think you can hit me?
Punk ass.
And Porco's having the time of his life. You see how heartily he laughs when he just like throws a wrench and hits him. It was great.
It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. They land into the water and they put up their fisticuffs and they start beating the crap out of each other. In between that whole battle, and once they're all like, once their heads look like Usopp in like Drum Island, Curtis reveals, he's like, I can't believe Gina loves you. And Porco's like, she don't love me. I'm a pig. And she's like, she told me she wants you to be in the flower garden in the daytime and not at night. And just as both of them knock each other senseless, Gina's plane lands. And, you know, the ref is already doing the count. You know, he's counting 1, 2, 3. Gina's like, Porco, get up. And he's like, Porco.
And then he goes, blah, 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 and gets out.
He gets up, he wins, and that was cool. I was happy that there was no bad blood, in a sense, between Porco and Curtis. Because they're both just, they're just men, just trying to be men, I guess.
They're men being men.
Yeah. There's no bad blood, but she's like, okay, everybody who's got a bounty on their head or doesn't want to be caught, get out. just come to the hotel, wait till I get there, drinks are on me. Everybody's like, hey, drinks are on you. Let's go.
I'm going.
Hey, let's get some bubbly tonight. No. but yeah, everybody's getting out of there. And Porco is just like, we got to make sure everybody gets out safe and sound. So he's like, take Fio, Gina, just take her. Make sure she's safe. Fio's like, no, I want to stay with you. She's like, no, you can't. So as they're about to fly off, Fio out, like, basically almost falls off the plane, but gives a nice little peck on Porco's lips, or I believe it was a cheek, I don't remember seeing it too correctly, but gives him a little kiss and flies off. And then Curtis walks up to Porco, and he's like, hey, wait a second, what's wrong with your face? And he's like, there's nothing wrong with my face. Like, but your face looks different. And I guess it's implied that maybe something that I missed.
Because they talked about it before at the hideout is when Flo was like, hey, what if I kissed you right here? Isn't there like the curse? Yeah. And he's like, no.
And then he said, no,
mm-hmm.
You will not. And so I like to think he still stayed a pig.
I don't know. I kind of like the mystery because, you know, they never show its face.
Yeah, exactly. After that point. The mystery. But I want answers. I always want answers.
Read the manga. Maybe it's there.
But it's in watercolor. I can't see water.
Blah, blah.
I can't breathe water. What do you then expect me?
You get a nice little epilogue narrated by Fio. And it's just like, I still visit the Adriatic from time to time. I'm now like a big head of a company for planes. I think Gina is too or something, or she works for her. But they have a nice little epilogue. And it's like, sometimes I visit and, you know, I see Porco and whatnot. It was great. I love seeing like...
No, I thought they said they never see Porco.
No, I mean... Oh, they never see Porco? I'm pretty sure they at least saw him after.
No, they said, and we never saw Porco again.
Wow. Now I'm even more sad.
And they're Curtis like tells us about whatever and comes to visit sometime. But
Curtis became a big movie star. He became the Roy Roger, dude.
He is Roy Rogers.
I can't believe you. But yeah, I love seeing the whole change over time. And then that ends it. It's a nice, short, little, sweet movie. Not too big thinky, but not too thinky.
Too small thinky.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just the right amount of think.
It is thinky is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Middle thinky.
And of course, we get that nice little end scene where you see the red plane flying in the sky, which was nice. Overall, I had a good time with the movie. Like,
I loved it.
I loved it. It was definitely something I wasn't expecting from a Ghibli film, which was interesting. If the other ones are like this, then hey, I'm down. But you know, it's pretty solid, I think.
Yeah, not too on the nose and just right.
I think it's more of a pig's nose. Oink. But yeah, let's jump into some characters. Unless you guys want to talk about something else that you found that you liked in the movie or a particular scene.
I just overall in the plot, I liked how relatively light it was. There was no, you know, huge conflict, no huge like end of the world conflict that they needed to fix, which I always appreciate in a lot of things, because most like these cinematic anime movies and shows, there's always a huge big bad that you need to go after,
Or and it gets like really existential.
Yeah, but instead this was a very I don't want to say laid back, because there's still action and adventure and good fun triumphs, but like it is much more contained and simple, and I really loved that, because you know, especially with something like we talked about before, Grave of the Fireflies, that shit was just like, I'm going to punch you in the face every 5 minutes of film with some new terror. And I'm like, that hurts.
Exactly.
And this is very, you know, a very simple and a very effective, a very fun movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like more than anything, because this is a kind of nice marrying of something like My Neighbor Totoro, which we haven't watched yet on this podcast. So I don't know if either of you guys have seen it. And something like Grave of the Fireflies, where it's a more adult theming, but it is still very fun and doesn't take itself too seriously. And there are obviously scenes where it's like, you know, talking about not being fascist and shit like that, yeah. And, you know, war and everything.
Trauma.
But but it still did not feel like it was made for the express purpose to make me feel bad. It felt like it was made to be something to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And I really did like that.
Okay, yeah, I'd show like a 6-year-old this movie. They'd probably enjoy it. I mean, if they planes.
Yeah.
I'd show an adult.
I know if I showed you this movie when you were a baby, you would have been like, oh.
Well, I was more of a guy who enjoyed like locomotives and trains. So
me too, though.
Hey, let's go,
guys! Man, I love
choo-choo trains.
I love trains.
Good times.
There's a reason why I unironically love Spirit Tracks. Even though everyone's like, that's the worst Legend of Zelda game.
I thought that wrong. Was, they were told, I always heard that was better than Phantom Hourglass.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. I love it. Anyway, trains are really good. We're going to have to watch a train. Well, we did. We watched Baccano. That was exactly it. I was like,
we got to watch Demon Slayer, the train movie arc. It's true. I guess that's
whenever it becomes legal to watch in the United States.
It's supposed to come out in theaters, right? Or is it going to like
online platforms?
I'm not
going to fucking go to theaters for the podcast.
I'm not going out either.
Are you crazy?
I mean, I went to watch One Piece, but that was before everything.
Hey, it would have been really great that we did watch, if like we had a movie day and we all just went to the theaters and watched a fucking anime film.
That would be good. Next Dragon Ball movie. Come on. It's probably got a couple more years.
What do you mean a couple more years? That thing's been going on for 30, 40 years now. I think we're going to get another Dragon Ball project. It's almost...
Well, that's what I mean, is that it's probably... They probably were already working on it, and they probably had to It probably had a couple of years pushed back on it because of mm-hmm. everything. So, you know, it's probably got a little bit. But they were working on it right after Broly. They were working mm-hmm. on another one. So, yeah, what it is going to there is going to be more.
What I want is a retcon. I want Gohan to be the only person
alive
of importance, and that's it.
Just us back to Gohan in high school.
So roll me back to
the
high school arc. Give me the Great Saiyan.
Say yeah, man.
And then give me Mustache Vegeta.
Oh,
those
yes.
are the only two things I care about. That's all I want. Anything else you can change. But I need Gohan to be the main man, because Gohan's the best.
And he's been everyone has complained that Gohan has been shafted. But those same people also complain that they hate the Great Saiyaman, so I don't know.
I don't know about that.
How do you hate the Great Saiyaman?
How do you hate Gohan trying to get his book knowledge on? Come on.
Exactly. This boy's so good. Ugh, man,
he can kick your ass and probably do your taxes. I don't know. I don't know.
Honestly, that's all I want.
The perfect
That's
man.
All I want in a man.
I'm from
Come
the
IRS.
On. Yeah, I'm from the IRS. You're nuts.
Yeah. Dude, if they make an heir, he will fly up all the way to Virginia, all the way to Maryland. He's going to be like, you punks.
He's knocking on the door. He's like, hey,
he busts my name is the Gohan. Door of the IRS tower.
My client does not owe you a damn thing.
Man, now how I'm satisfying angry. Of would it be to just... Kamehameha Blast. Anyway.
I'd like to keep Blast, actually.
Okay.
Krillin's a cop. Keep forgetting he's a cop.
That's why I want to roll it back.
Oh, man.
He was so pure before.
Yeah, and like
he became a cop.
Yeah, it's and it doesn't, like, that was just super being super. Like, why is it, why, no.
But they need a job. They need jobs. What are they going to do? Yeah. Karate all the days? They can't.
Yeah.
They can't.
Yeah. You just like Android 18 said, just win a tournament and live off the money.
So here's the problem.
She's so right, though.
Here's the problem is that what would happen is that if they were like, okay, we're redoing everything from Z forward, we're redoing. So we're just going to do regular Dragon Ball, and we're going to do what Toriyama actually wanted to do, where... It's Gohan growing up. Is that people would mm-hmm. complain? They'd be like, "Well, where is Cell? Where is the freezer?
Like,
how very
like
freezer?
Where's my freezer? Where's my cooler?" But
no, I think they could have that. Just like there's some aspects that could like they could have everything. They can even have Cell. Just after Cell, just continue the high school stuff.
Yeah, just keep showing the little boy.
Give us an alternate timeline where. Gohan was the first one to go Super Saiyan.
Honestly, like, literally, all you need me to do... So, Toei, come to me. I'll tell you what you need to do, and then you don't even gotta pay me.
You don't even
As long as you
Toriyama.
Do it in the... If Yeah, Toriyama... I don't know. Toriyama barely does anything anymore.
I wouldn't... But just, I don't blame him.
Just do... Yeah, no, he's going to live off royalties for the rest of his goddamn life. He's made the most profitable, like, one of the most profitable anime franchises ever.
Well, not just anime, just, like, everything.
No, Pokemon.
Oh, no. True. Pokemon does.
Pokemon.
Multimedia. They definitely dominate there.
But just,
we're off
anyway.
Topic. We're off topic.
Anyway, Pokemon's
so
good,
back
it's
to
fun.
Welcome back to the Dragon Ball podcast. Since we were talking about characters so much, why don't we just jump into some characters, talk about them. All right, so we're going to start with the main man himself, Mr. Porco Rosso. I believe they age-dropped him, right? Didn't they say he was just like...
He said he was
like around...
Yeah, in 1910 he was 17.
Yeah, and I don't remember what year this movie was supposedly taking place, so I'm guessing he's like 30-ish or something, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it was probably it was probably nice... around the 30s, probably like the mm-hmm. early 30s. So yeah, probably around his 30s or 40s.
Mm-hmm. Real name Marco, which was cool.
Yeah, Marco the Phoenix.
I can't believe you.
Marco Porco Polo.
Porco is defined as having a cool ass mustache and a cool ass sunglasses.
Yeah, that's it. That's
cool
his
ass.
No other notable features.
Also, he's a good pilot, but I think he was he's my favorite type of character. He's just like, he just felt like a father, like most
he's
of the
just
movie.
Cool. He's just cool as hell. Yeah, he's a dilf is what he is.
He's awesome. And like how he's just like, he's blunt about things, but he cares deep down. He's just like, yeah, no, I'm not having a Brad work on my plane. All right, Brad, you can work on my plane. I thought he was adorable in his adorable moments, and he was cool in his cool moments. I thought he was awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than Porco, we got Miss Fio Piccolo. They did age drop her. She was 17. Orange hair, looks like the Wendy's girl sometimes. And I thought her character brought a lot of energy to the film, which I didn't think I wanted, but it was good. Like, there was a lot more playfulness.
Yeah, it was just the right, like, it needed just, like, a pinch of it, you know? And it was just the right pinch.
A little bit, yeah. I tried to go Italian, and then I went Mario, and then I was like, that's not going well.
I just thought you just lost your voice. I thought you just, like...
Welcome to Funny Anime Podcast. It's me, Pino.
Yeah.
But no, she was great. As like you said, just she was the little pinch you needed for this movie to work. She brought a lot of fun. She mm-hmm. was very. She's very bold. She's very outgoing, and it was great. I thought her character was wonderful.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Curtis Donald, our American boy. He was cool. I didn't mind his character. He's just a playboy. He just gets his heart broken. I also like his mustache. It was cool. Nice hair. I don't know, like Porco and him, they look like they, I don't know why every time, like when they were fighting, I was just like, this reminds me of just like the old, like boxing, like the gray and white boxing matches where you're like, oh, look at these guys go. I'm just like, I like the fisticuffs, like I mentioned before, but like, I don't know, something about these character designs just like work for me. I don't know if it's their bone structure or
it's
how
Ghibli.
They,
it's what Ghibli. It is.
Yeah. I think it's all of it.
The answer is Ghibli.
It's Miyazaki. That's really.
Then we got Gina. She got short hair. She's very mature. She can sing. She can feed us all. It's great. I liked her character a lot, despite her not showing up too much. She was a woman who knew what she wanted. Very serious, but very kind at the same time. And you know what? You need more strong women like this in the movie. Or how you know she's also called Madame, but you know, she's awesome. I liked her.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's very fun. She's another piece of the puzzle that I don't think the story would have really worked without.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that with most of the characters, especially Flo and Gina. Both of them, I feel like, are very pivotal points to both like Marco as well as like the story as a whole. So I feel like having those two as the other two like main characters,
mm-hmm.
I feel like worked really well. Definitely. I just like them both. They're very fun.
There's not too many like key characters to focus on because a lot of them are also part of a sort of group. But the last character I do want to mention is just Grandpa Piccolo because he had a lot of those lines too. I think he brought a good contrast as well to some of the humor. He was that kind of like stingy man. He's like, oh yeah, it's just going to cost you. Let's do it.
I loved him in this because he was a pretty unique character because he's not one of those, oh, I'm going for a flight. I'm taking. I think he's the only other male character who was not a pilot of some degree. Well, mm-hmm. he could have been a pilot, but he was not. That's not his main occupation. And I really liked how he was there to ground Marco a lot. Mm-hmm. As well as kind of shove his granddaughter off to just go fly with him.
I think one of my favorite bits is like the fact that it's like he keeps like Porco, like he's like, hey, you like my granddaughter? He's like, don't touch her.
He's like, stop it. Don't do it.
Bad. Don't do it.
It's very funny.
Yeah. And I like his little glasses. I don't know. His character's little glasses are great.
Very fun.
But yeah, everyone else was more of a just like, I guess an additive just to build some of the tension, like the pirate cruise. Yeah. There was that one pilot who beat up everybody during the photo that I want to give a shout out to.
The gang boss.
The gang boss. He was great.
With a big mustache and beard.
Miss Fio. Oh, good times.
Very fun.
not too many characters, but I think they didn't need too many for this one. Like, agreed. They didn't need to focus on too many.
Well, I feel like that's another thing with these movies. Like I talked before, it's such a different structure than mm-hmm. what we're used to seeing. So, like, for example, the like on my anime list, I'm used to having like 30 different characters that I need to scroll through. This has seven like main focuses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they needed, because these sort of things, you do not want to get bogged down. You will have like a couple main characters, some side characters that are plot important, and then the rest are table dressing. Like, that's it. That's, you just need it to make it look nice and for it to work as a story, but you don't need to think about them too much.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good. I feel like it worked very well.
Very accessible. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, so I would say that this is one of the most accessible Ghibli films, especially for people who are like, I don't want to watch My Neighbor Totoro. I don't want to watch Kiki's Delivery Service, because those are for babies. And then I'd say, watch this. This is about a 1930s fighter pilot.
First you say, you're the baby, and then show them this.
Yeah. Then you punch them in the face. Yeah. And then they start crying, and then I laugh at them.
See, and you're like, haha, just like a baby.
Exactly.
But yeah, those are, it's a nice little short one, at least for this this movie and for this episode of the podcast too. I want to congratulate everybody. We made it to the end.
Guys, yay! Isn't it kind of crazy that we've been doing this for 3 full seasons now?
Yeah, actually kind of. I didn't think we were going to make it this far.
We've lasted longer than most Netflix shows.
guys, all we need to do is stay around for like 2 more years, and then we will have lasted longer than the Confederacy.
Hey, let's get it, boys.
Doesn't that make you feel good?
That's pretty damn funny. Dude, and when we get past 6 seasons, we'll make it past Community. Oh, wait.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But then we just need 2 movies.
Oh, you're right. But yeah, I want to thank you guys. I don't think there's any other segment we need to do now.
There's never over these 3 seasons, never ever been a segment between when we talk about the characters and when we talk about miscellaneous.
I really don't think so.
Guys, I don't think there's ever, like, do you guys remember? I don't think there's ever been one.
Wait, no. We do segments?
You got a sticky note on your desk there, buddy. What's that sticky note say on your desk there, Chuck?
Wait, why'd you put it in one of my drawers?
I didn't put it there. Shoot, you think that's my handwriting? Shoot, you must be crazy.
Okay, let's see. This says,
I would have put it on your forehead.
Welcome to the 77th edition of Who's the Best Girl, the part of the podcast where each contestant puts forward their choice for Best Girl of the episode and duke it out for title of Best Girl. Today our contestants, once again, Pido, Garth, myself, and the Patreon.
Oh yeah.
Who are you each advocating for?
Oh yeah, I'll go for Gina.
I pick Engine-chan.
I pick Grandpa Piccolo.
I guess I'll start. You know what? Yeah, what's up?
What about
the Patreon?
Oh, right!
You goober!
Hey, man, it wouldn't be a Pino episode if I didn't mess up at least 5 times, and we that's the 6th one. We have episodes?
We have fans? Listeners?
No. Let's see. We got the vote for, I believe, is Porco, because it says probably Porco, though.
then it's Marco. So you go first, Pino. Pick all which right. one you want to talk about.
We'll start with Porco. Porco is... Well, what's cooler than a pig, okay?
Ice cold.
A pig that can fly. And you know what they say?
Pigs gotta fly.
You know, pigs on a pig skin can fly away. No. Porco is great because you can have your, you know, tsunderes are cool. But when you fly a plane and you're a pig, you're just that much cooler. How many of you can say, hey, I got a pig who can fly? Not me. I couldn't say that. Do you know how to fly? I don't think so. He would be great because pigs don't mind getting dirty because they're pigs. Laws don't apply to them because he's a pig. And, you know, as he says, he's a pig. It doesn't really matter.
I do love some of, like, the small things he said. Like, he'd rather be a a pig than be a fascist. And I'm like, I love that about him.
Yeah, man, he's so free. He's his character is just so free, but it's also...
And he doesn't want to kill, you know, like unnecessarily.
He's a gentleman. Yeah.
He does smoke, though, which I'm not a huge fan of.
It's all right. You know, you just tell him, stop. Get but some then help. He
won't. Listen, if we could meet him in the modern day, we just go...
What we go ahead and do is we show him cells at work, code black, that first episode, and then he'll get it. He'll feel bad.
He'll be like, shit, I cannot smoke.
He said, I'm not going to smoke.
But that's all conjecture, because obviously he's still smoking.
It's true. But you know who else also smokes, I think?
Who?
I think Gina did. Did she smoke at one point in the movie?
I probably.
Doesn't matter. She's got a voice of
guys, a goddess. Gina also smokes. Bad damn, character.
I can't believe you.
I mean, back in those days, people were being told, like, cigarettes are healthy. They're good for you. Well, good for your lungs.
It's called propaganda by big tobacco to sell you more things.
It's all right. Remember, guys, big tobacco,
bad tobacco. Hey!
Woo! Anyways.
Only tobacco's the wacky tobacco.
I can't believe it. That. Wacky dacky. Anyways, Gina is great. You know why? Because she's got a whole ass island. And you know what's on that island? A hotel. Dude, you know what's in a hotel? Beds.
And there's even like plants and shit growing off it. That's cool ass island.
And you know what I like? I just like islands. You know, me, Garb, and Chuck, sometimes we play games where we think we spawn on an island and we have the time of our life. If I were to spawn every morning on that island, shoot. Doesn't matter.
Every day would be the best day of my life.
I think I just chose the island as my best girl. I think she's her character is such a strong kind of character because she had gone through, I don't think it's just one marriage. I think it was a couple marriages. Three. I think it's twice or three. Three marriages. All of her husbands died. And she's still going. She's still living her life despite the sadness, despite the struggle. She's still hanging in there, making sure that, you know, she's living her best life and, you know, providing for all of her guests because she's awesome. Plus, she can sing. Plus, she got good style, you know, and short hair is great. It's amazing. It's great. And she can fly a plane.
Look at her. She's got the kiss of death, so if you want to die, it's easy.
Hey, you said Yoko number one. Let's go.
Well, okay. So now you brought up a whole nother reason why I don't like her then.
Dang.
Because you said Kiss of Death, and Kiss of Death is from Darling in the Franxx, and Darling in the Franxx is really bad.
I can't believe you.
So, Gina also bad. Sorry, don't make the rules.
Wow.
Can't believe you.
You lose.
No.
You get nothing.
Now tell me why you picked Grandpa Piccolo.
Because you stole fizzy lifting drinks. I picked Piccolo because he's a short little stout guy. He's a good mechanic. He had a Ghibli branded engine, and he said, "Wow, this is a good engine." And he made airplanes.
That was a funny bit. Money. I saw that Ghibli logo. I'm just like, you're a funny Ghibli. You funny.
Yeah, and he's very good, and he's protective of his daughter because he's like, "You better not.
Don't do it.
You better not make some little piglets. Stop it." Yeah, he's great. And he's got cool glasses, because you got to have glasses if you want to be best grill for me.
But Chuck.
What's up?
I ain't saying he a gold digger. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, I don't think, if he thinks he's going to be able to dig gold out of me, I don't think so. If he has a side hustle, I'm fine with that.
That's fair.
I'm not here to judge this man.
Plus, he's got a big family. That means there's a lot of good food to go around. So, you know, big families, they got a lot of people who know how to cook.
Big dog got to eat.
Hey, man. Big dog. Hey, yo, am I invited? Let's go. Oh, man. But if you think we're all incorrect and we all should have picked Fio, which I'm surprised none of us did.
Hey. Huh? Did you forget someone?
Oh, Garb?
Huh?
Garb went.
Come on now.
I must have zoned out completely, but if you think...
I'm pretty sure Garb went, did he?
No, I haven't.
I'm sorry.
I gotta talk about that airplane.
I'm not crazy, you're crazy.
I gotta talk about airplanes.
Oh man, that airplane, it's just... It's the star of the show, really. It's sexy. Look at that thing. It had a whole redemption arc where it got overhauled. It, you know, one of a kind, you know?
It's true. There is only one of its kind.
It'll only fight back a little bit here and there, you know, give you a little bit of smack talk, but... Mm-hmm. You know, or reliable. That's what they call her.
You know what I'll, you know what I'll tell you though?
What's that?
The gun got jammed.
It's okay. Ugh. Sometimes also, sometimes it gets a little jammed, you know?
Also, I want to, I just want to say, it's not a train.
Oh, he's right, dude. Trains, ugh. You know what? If we add a tier list, train is like SS.
Train's like SS plus tier.
I'm not going to dispute that because trains are pretty damn wonderful.
It's trains,
but there were no trains in this movie, so
this movie gets a 0 out of 5.
False. No trains. There was a train. What do you mean? What his plane was transported after he got off the boat. It was on a train.
Oh, never mind.
Oh, yeah, there was a train. There was a train. We're good.
5 out of 5.
Yeah, he napped on the train. That's right.
Yeah, it's locomotion, Porco Rocco, dude. Loco Rocco. Let's go, dude. Yo, did we just solidify what our thumbnail is? Is it gonna be just Thomas the Tank Engine with with Porco's face on?
It's easy peasy.
Easy peasy. No, we didn't solidify.
Someone
it.
We'll write that it out. Down because I'm gonna forget.
Gonna forget. Do. No, I'm kidding. But now,
airplane's where it's at, man. I mean, seaplane. You know, you can't even crash. It's okay because it's a seaplane.
You know, I'll agree only because it's the color red.
Yeah, it's good color.
Good color.
I don't agree. But if you think we're wrong, email us at funkyanimepodcast@gmail.com. That's the only email we have. If you're sending it to anything else, you're wrong.
Or, you know, you can
send
it
to allowed
to the cooler one.
We got some Lee mails.
Yeah.
Oh, Lee mails.
We got two, both from Alex. Thank you, Alex.
Alex.
First one. Congratulations on a successful season, Buckos. Looking forward to more in season 4. Thank you.
Hey, man. We're looking forward to it too.
Forward.
I hate you. Continue.
Second one. Serious question. This is a serious question.
All right, everybody put on your serious face.
Put on the serious face. I know. Wipe off the dust. We haven't used those in a while. Have you ever missed a fictional character like you miss real life people? The answer is yes.
The answer is yes. Did you want us to tell who it is?
Sure. You go first.
Spoiler. Okay, next. Who's next?
I feel whenever Leorio comes in for Hunter Hunter and he's like there for like 5 episodes, I'm like, it's my favorite character. And then he leaves. And I go, no!
Like, back to medical school, buddy.
And I'm like, he's my favorite. He's so good. But I love him. And I also love people in One Piece, like all of the characters, because you miss them. Because they never come back, and then I cry.
Cry all the time.
That's it. How about you, Grungle?
I accidentally left my materia on Aerith, so.
Oh, no.
You really miss her.
You don't miss Aerith. You just miss those materia.
Okay, I admit it. I just miss the materia. She had all my white mage magic.
He's angry.
That's a shame.
No, I'll tell you. You know who I miss? I miss Mikado Ryugami. Not really, no. I miss Shizuo. I miss him. I need to see him throw more cans of things that hold cans.
Entire
vending machines, entire signposts. I miss the entire crew there. Those are the people I miss.
I miss a lot.
I also miss Jelly Jiggler, just because I miss him.
Poor guy. My baby rest in peace.
Is a 45-year-old man.
45 years old. Oh, man. But if you miss anybody else, send us another email. Oh, man.
Guys,
any miscellaneous?
Send us emails. Besides that, I just finished watching the Greed Island arc of Hunter Hunter, and now I'm watching
Chimera Ant.
So
I watched one episode, and then I started Beastars because I was forced to.
Well, I watched that, and then I said, I'm going to also watch Dr. Stone weekly, and I'm going to watch ReZero weekly, and I'm going to watch Beastars weekly, and it's going to not work out for me, but I'm trying.
Hey, man, you're hanging in there. Anything new with you, Garb?
I started reading Naruto.
Nice.
Believe it.
Naruto! It's good.
Naruto?
It's better than watching.
Yeah, well, I tried, because like, I'm not going to skip straight to Shippuden. That's not...
Shippuden's. Why would you skip to Shippuden?
Well, that's I think Naruto whatever, original's better.
Like I've been had people tell me like, why didn't you just skip to Shippuden? And I'm like, well,
no,
why
that's
would
so
I?
Dumb. Why you mean, would you go mean to Shippuden?
We skip like, all the character development.
What exactly,
you
and so
you can skip. Like, you can skip Shippuden once you get there.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. Yeah, I did try watching the show, and I got to the Chunin exams, and then I just was like.
I think a lot of the shonen shows that I've been watching, they're all the same. They give you flashbacks to 5 seconds ago, even One Piece. I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to read the manga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, Sasuke, I can't believe you said you wanted a ham sandwich. I want a ham sandwich.
Orochimaru!
Oh my gosh.
It's so dumb. It's such a not great show, and I'll stand
it's
by
it's a great
that.
Manga.
I have fun very, with it. I still,
it's fun.
Naruto holds a special place in my
every
heart.
Every time I talk about Naruto, being fun and being good are not equal. You can have a very fun manga, story, anime without it being objectively good.
I agree with
and
that.
And that's what Naruto is, at least the anime. Manga, I can fight a little bit for that. Anime is garbage.
Yeah, the anime is definitely like junk food anime, you know?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
We've talked about that concept before.
Well, we're going to watch it eventually.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. One day.
Guys, I think it's time for our last rating of season 3.
Wow. And then we can have definitive proof that I picked the best shows.
Hey, it's our seasonal who picked the best shows. You know, we should do that actually. Just have it seasonal.
Joke's on you. I've done the math already. So
I can't believe you.
We already
All right.
It's plugged in on the Excel sheet. Just done.
I can't believe it. I haven't seen the Excel sheet in years. Let me open that. And by years,
well,
I mean like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, because I always put in the information and not you because I don't trust you people.
What do you mean? What if I wanted to make you put 5 for Golden Time? What do you mean?
I would never. Okay, Garb, what you rating it?
I'm going to give it a straight up 5.
Wow.
This was wonderful. It's seriously, like I said before, it's got everything. It's got fisticuffs. It's got airplane fighting. It's got wholesome, you know? It's got women's rights. It's a good
That's fair.
Fucking movie.
That's yeah. fair.
And it's got Pig Man, and he's not a bad Pig Man. Like Porky.
He's not Ganon. That's pretty fun. I got give it 4.7.
Nice.
I don't, it's not a, there's... Every time I give a really good show a high ranking, I always got to put an asterisk that I am very rarely giving out 5 out of 5s. And I've only given out one, and that's for Haikyuu, because that's personal bias. That's yeah. literally it.
We Boku all get Rosa one.
Is, that's a lie.
I have like
that's,
5, I think.
Yeah, you,
I think I do yeah, have 5.
You have a lot. But, like, Poco Rosa is a very fun time. Would recommend it to anyone. It's a good laugh. It's a goof a gaff a laugh, you know.
That's
all the
fair.
Things.
I like that.
What about you, Pino?
This was such a pleasant time. I didn't think I'd find a Ghibli movie that I actually would enjoy. Despite the fact that I ranked like I think the first Castle in the Sky, like what, 4.4 or something?
Yeah,
I
you
did.
Gave it a
That was pretty high. I thought I hated it. I guess I didn't.
No. No, 4.4.
Yeah. Obviously, I think this was better just because I just like the quality of what I had and the enjoyment that I had throughout the whole film. Is it 5 out of 5? I really wish I could say it's 5 out of 5. So I'm going to give it a 4.8. It's damn near close. I just wish I knew if he was a man or not. I need to know. But everything else, it was such a treat. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, man.
It's very fun.
Well, guys, the race has ended.
Yay.
You all are beating each other up. You guys are beating me up. I don't know why I'm still talking. But to my left, there is Snail Po Garb.
No, it's S-Carb Go.
Ah, I like that better. S-Carb Go.
Thanks.
I didn't
I
say
it
that
up
right.
An hour ago and was like, oh. I must hold on to this joke.
The one stepping on me. Well, that's Upchuck the Chuck Chuck.
You like that, don't you?
I don't. Please. I'm in the water.
Really like
I can't
that.
Breathe. We're fighting
I know you
in
like
the water.
I know you love this. You sick bastard.
I don't. It actually
Gross.
Hurts.
I can't
and the guy actually
this.
Drowning next to the fish staring at me underwater. Well, that's me, Pino. I don't like this. Goodbye. We've been the Three Weebros. We will always be the Three Weebros, hopefully. allegedly.
Allegedly.
I can't wait to see you. Huh?
Should we tell them what we're doing up next? Not for next season quite yet. We've still got to... Yeah.
So as always, we're going to be taking a couple weeks, a month off, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Not meaning that you're not going to get content. We will still be releasing on our schedule every other week, as we always do.
But you get filler.
But you will get the filler because we can only do so much canon.
Exactly. Our animators are tired. They said, "Hey, mm-hmm. let's get those third parties to do some filler, and we got some filler lined up for you. What have we got in the works?"
So I'm just gonna let you know one first off. Mm-hmm. We have the very fun season 3 in review, as we always do. We will learn and talk about what we remember, what we liked, what we didn't like. And all the others, we learn. So get your ass in gear and get ready to have some good times to reminisce about this last season. So enjoy it.
Yeah. You know, every season needs a recap episode. Come on.
It's true. Because these fools aren't going to be watching this whole thing.
It's fair. You know, we have some jumpers around, you know. People who decide to skip Naruto.
Step back from the ledge, my friend.
People who skip Naruto, Boruto, or people who just skip the time skip. You know, I can't believe you. You're all interrupting me.
Well, because you said jumper, so then I had to sing Jumper by Third Eye Blind.
And I don't know why he sang Shiowase.
I don't know either, if I'm going to be honest.
Can't believe it.
But you said skip some, you lose some.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What's happening?
I think the show is decomposing as we reach the final episode. This is the last episode.
It's like the plane limping to the finish. It's broken as fuck. We're almost there.
We're beatboxing. Anyways, before this gets any more funky, noisy podcast, hope you guys enjoy that video coming up, and we've got other surprises for you, hopefully, with the next couple of ones for the filler.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's get excited for season 4. We've got got some good shows on the list for you, and some not as good shows, but you know.
It's mostly a Garvin Pino choice.
I've never
picked a bad show.
Whoa.
And we'll learn about who picked the best shows and who picked the worst shows?
I can't believe it. You'll never drop this, will you?
I will never drop this because I know I'm right.
I can't believe this. I can't believe you hate Panty and Stocking that much.
I can't believe that Panty and Stocking isn't as good as everyone says it is. I
can't believe it. I love that. But anyways, this will be the last time we say for season 3, technically. So tell your mom you love her.
Enjoy the motorcycle ride.
Yeah, we'll see you on the
one last ride down the motorcycle ride.
Dude, this is the last time we watch Bobo.
That's
where the episode ends. See you guys.
That was so sad. That makes me upset a little bit.
Can that be where the episode ends? Just everybody.